Well, I see my TV is not working, but sorry for my back. Just a few pictures of in terms of feedback this week. We are showing the Jesus film, which is a powerful instrument for us in the Kunene region when we are working there. But you can see a lot of people, a lot of children, and you will not see any chairs. But for the whole time that movie is around, I think it's like 2 hours long, and people are just sitting dead still and focus on what we're doing. And then there we are in a kraal there near Ipupa. And then again, old lady. It's an outpost. It's a post, an old post where it's not the normal kraal, so they move out with the goats and sheep. And there is a Kunene River next to the, it's on the Angolan border, having a lunch, and this is a place where we stayed. We met these people. They had a wedding. It is I will tell you how interesting this is. A real Ovahimba wedding and all the things they do there. It's really really interesting. But this is the house where the guests slept. So it was occupied, so we couldn't stay there the night, so we had our own tents. But that is the guest house. And then, showing the movie in a different place. And this is, on the right-hand side, the one with the white jacket is our guide and translator, Bende. And next to her, if you go back, is Lucia. And Lucia she's from the Zemba tribe. And what she does is, this is her church. So this morning, this is the place where they are having their morning services. Isn't it wonderful? And wonderful lady, friendly. It's just a privilege to be there. There's even a clock, a bell that they are ringing to come, and it's wonderful. And then next one, as they were busy with the gospel, and these people are staying next to the road near Ipupa, and one of the things that are really, really bothering them is the influence of tourism. And this lady struggled at this moment. Her mother had a stroke, and she's suffering, and she's having all the children of the family looking after them because her sister is not there, looking after her mother in Upuvu. But her story is all about the influence of tourism and the abuse of taking photos of their children. And it's a real, real, real challenge for them. And she chose against tourism. I mean, if they are going to take a photo of you paying you $200, why not? Because money is what we need. So this is a real challenge for them. And I'll say something about it later on again. And then next one. There's two brothers. An interesting meeting that we had. We've met in the previous years, both brothers in different spots. And here are both of them at the wedding. And so I didn't know they were brothers. This one in the blue on the left-hand side, his name is Maokuru. And we've met him in 2023. And his words just stuck in our minds. He said, "There must be a God." And he's telling people, "There must be a God. We just don't know who that God is." And he said, "You brought that God to us. We understand something about God." And his brother there at the back, his name is Verimang. And Verimang, we've met him also last year during December. And then all of a sudden, a rainstorm approached and said, "Listen, we've got to leave now, but here is a mega voice with the Himba translation of the Bible. Just take this and listen to this. And when we left, and he said, that first meeting and that little Bible we left is just in a search for more and more and more. So we connected the two. They are brothers and really in need for the gospel. We just need more of God. Okay, and then next one is Pete. What's your name in English, Pete? Peter Liebenberg, lovely mountain. He is the doctor. And this lady, her name is Tiroma. Tiroma she's a little girl that can read the Bible without any schooling. It's wonderful. She's a wonderful, wonderful kid and struggled with her leg. So Pete, lovely mountain, helped her indeed. And I think that's another one. Again, over there, so we're busy with the gospel. And next one. This is an old lady. She's 101 years old. And in her little house. And we gave her this little liquid fruit sappi. It was just wonderful to see her enjoying that. She doesn't know it. And it's a new taste in her mouth. And it's only, 200 milliliters. And then she says, and she's drinking. I think I must leave for my grandchildren as well. I said, no, there's enough. We've got another one. You can just drink it. But her wish is, two of them. The one is that when she die, I need to go and for the funeral. That's my job. So, okay. But the other one is that we will pray that her children will convert to Christianity. That is her prayer. Well, how wonderful is that? So, that is my little story this morning, and I will say something about it later on. I want to read this morning a few verses to focus on God. In Chronicles, 1 Chronicles 29, it says, yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory, the victory, and the majesty, for all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all. In your hand is power and might. In your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. Now, therefore, O God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. And therefore, when we are praising his glorious name, I greet you in his glorious name, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. May his peace, his love, his grace rest upon each of us. Amen. Let's sing. Praise my soul, the King of heaven. We sing. Let's stand and sing two verses. Just in this building, we struggle normally to hear. But some of you, it is due to your own medical problem. But otherwise, the building is built in such a way that there's a rebound, or I don't know what it is. But as you can see, we've spent some money just to get the sound better, and they will improve by the time and over time. But there's one thing that I want to say. If sometimes we need to move around, just to there are spots in the building that you really hear less than other spots. So you're welcome to move around to find the right spot. But otherwise, we hope that this will help us with the sound in the church. But again, we are blessed to do so, and I hope it improves the listening in the church. So this morning, we are going to read only one verse in a certain sense, only this one. And then I will add on with a few others as well, just to build on to what it is said in Philippians 2 verse 13. But this is our text this morning. This is our focus before we pray, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Our translation will sound a little bit different, but before we read this and explore the Word of God, let's pray. Father God, we honor your name this morning. How sweet the name of Jesus sounds. And you are the prophet, the priest, the king, the savior, the bread of life, the water of life. You are life. You are alive. You ascended to heaven. You are the ruler of this world. And we pray to you this morning. We want to honor your name. We want to focus on your name, your presence, your forgiveness, your grace, your hope. And thank you for being the head of the church, the guidance of the church, the counselor of the church, the leader that helps us to be church and to understand your calling, your works, your influence in our lives. And thank you for the Holy Spirit and the guidance of the Holy Spirit so that we can know you better and so that we can focus on your word, your actions, your love, so that we can be who we are called to be as a church. And therefore, this morning, please bless us and help us to listen and to hear very carefully and spiritually, physically, mentally. We need you, Father, in our lives. Bless this meeting. In your name we pray. Amen. So I just want to read this chapter, or not the chapter, but the context of this verse. The heading in my Bible says, do everything without grumbling. And it says, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now with much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That is verse 12. Verse 13 says, for it is God who works in you will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. So somewhere we are called to fulfill God's good purpose, but also his pleasure. I don't know what translation that is, but I don't think that is a good one. So what we're going to do is, I think there's another verse, if you want to link this with what the Bible says in different places. In Isaiah 49, verse 5, it says, and now the Lord says, he who formed me in the womb to be his servant. Well, it's interesting. So he formed me in his womb. There's a beautiful verse in Psalm 139 that describes how perfectly God made us. And many people say, I'm so beautiful made, and I'm so wonderful, and I'm an important person. But when we read it, it is for His purpose. We are brilliantly made, perfectly made for His purpose, for the calling. And you will read in Ephesians 2 verse, 10, the same sort of thing. We are beautifully made for His purpose. So in Isaiah 49, 5 says, what happens is He sent His people back from exile, and now a new phase in their history is going to become alive again. And then He says, and now the Lord says, He who formed me in the womb to be His servant, and my God has been my strength. In Afrikaans, it sounds like, die Here het my 'n belangrike opdrag gegee. En Hy gee my die krag om dit te doen. So He gave the command to do something and the power to fulfill it. Now in Hebrew, it's interesting. Some of you would know in the old days there was the Jews, the Israelites, they had a machine gun. They called it the Uzi. The Uzi was a 9mm sort of caliber, and you can fold it up like, and you can see it like a pistol, or it's like a machine gun, a Uzi. So what God says is, and He uses the term God in a different way, Veluhai is El, is God, Uzi. He's the Uzi, He's the strength, He's the fighter. So God is my Uzi. That is what they say. In Hebrew 13 verse 21, it says, Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep. So what happens is, here on our baptism thing, it says, laat my lammers wei. So my lamb, my sheep, go, send my, be a shepherd of my sheep. So He says, Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, equipped you with everything good for doing His will. So I hope you understand what we are trying to say. So God calls us and gives us that strength. And the Greek says, energo, the energy to do so, to do His will, to His pleasure, to do what He wants us to do. And it's the same sort of thing what we experience when we go to, like on our outreach, and I just want to say something about it. It was really a gripping week, and it's a challenge to end up at a house where people never heard about Jesus ever. I mean, maybe something about it, the name or about the church or something like that. And but I want to thank you as a congregation for sending us. It's part of our calling, and that is what we need to do and the power to do so. And it's a challenging week. If you can ask Pete. I mean, you start off the morning very early in the mornings. It's still dark when it's 7 o'clock. We are on our feet, and after that Jesus film, it was like 12 o'clock in the evening, in the morning, that at midnight we are in bed again. So it's a whole day's work. It's really, really a challenge. But thank you for the church council that sends us, and because there are only a few people working there in that area, and. But one of the things that really stand out for me, during Pentecost, we spoke about how God uses people and how God sent people to specific places. And I've used the story last week about that lady who baked the lemon cheesecake, and it ended up being the right sort of cake in that situation. So we found these people that are really so emotional, and they ask, but why are you here? Why us? How did you get here? Why did you stop at our house? Well, we don't know. But I think God equipped us through the Holy Spirit to stop there. But because sometimes we drive past, and one of these guys Remember, he says a long time ago, Fresh, there was this guy from Fresh that, and his life wasn't that fresh anymore. And this guy put his hand on his shoulder and said, listen, it's time to change your life. He said, listen, and it's the first time since then that someone, again, from the church, from Jesus, is in our presence again. It's the same with Verikang who he said, but last year, what was this? What was it? Why did you stop there? It wasn't even my place. It was just our outpost, and here you stop. And you just, why? How did it happen? Is it coincidence? Is it a divine intervention? Why? Wow. How does it work? So they ask these questions. I think they gave this little girl the name. I think it's supposed to be Abigail, but they call her Abigail. And we just drove to a kraal, and there were these four men with this sick baby, Abigail. And she's we've got nothing for her, but we could pray for that little girl, Abigail. So God sent us to certain places. At that moment that we entered that homestead of Verikang, and this weird honeymoon thing. Well, I know the bride and the bridegroom, and they are leaving the house now. They actually chase the bridegroom away, so that he and the bride will meet one another there in the road. It's a weird story, but they were guests, and when we bring Jesus to them, there are more people there than supposed to be. And who sent them there? God. Why did we stop there? God let us stop there. And for the first time in our lives, and you can ask Pete, people struggling with their marriages, Himba people, and to help them as well. So it was a real affair this week. And this lady next to the road, Nyona, that are so aware of this thing to get more money, but in that process to give away something of who we are and our pride and my children that are exposed to these people that are taking photos of us and selling it and I know I need that money. But I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. And so that cheap exploitation of us as a culture, I refuse to give in. My values are more important than that. And that is the struggling of those people, some of them. And in the Bible, we get a lot of stories of people, Bible characters, weird people, strange people, the stories of faith, the stories of courage in the Bible. And many of them don't even have a name. And as I cannot pronounce all these names of these people, but I can't even pronounce the names of the people in the Bible. It's too difficult. But some of them are just mentioned once in the Bible. But why are they there? I mean, we are just one person in a world, in the sea of, I think, 8 billion people in the world. And there's just nothing special about some of us. Most of the people think they are extremely special. But most of us are just normal people. We don't stand out, and we are not in a leadership position or in a political arena or whatever. well, in a large group, people will not see us or be aware of us and notice us between all the others, and we just feel invincible. We just feel invincible in this massive amount of people around us. And maybe you don't have an important job. Maybe you don't even have a job or a vocation. Maybe you're just at home doing your thing. Maybe you are retired. And maybe you are just plain tired. Or maybe you come from a little small town where there's one petrol station and a little small shop. Maybe you are doing homeschooling and you don't even see other children around you. Maybe you are just homeless and jobless and sick and depressed. Maybe. But when you step back and look at these people in the Bible and the role that every single one of them plays in the Bible. God called them by their name that we don't even know, and He gave them the energo, the energy to do something about and have a purpose in the Bible. And that is what we've said. We've said during Pentecost, we've said it last week, that we are at the end of a certain era in the church, of the Dutch Reformed Church. That is the church that we are here. And we are supposed to do something new. They are not leaders anymore, or are less leaders and less pastors. And we need a new calling in the church. But people will see you necessarily. You will not necessarily be on a council of a chosen leader to do so. And this is what helps us when we look at these people in the Bible. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill His good purpose. And that is a calling of every single one of us. You may be the CEO of the company, or you don't even have a place to work. Every single one of us do have this calling, and we need to understand what it really means. Does God really have a purpose for each one of us? If I believe the Bible, it says yes. It isn't determined by your age. It isn't determined by your salary, whatever it is. It is, you've got a calling. And it's every single small, insignificant person, well, if you think so, that can make a difference in the kingdom of God. And in the Bible, we read about this wonderful people, that was the great calling, and how God met them, and God sent them as Moses and Noah and David and Jonah and whoever it is, and all the prophets and all the disciples. That's powerful people, it seems. But there's other people. In the Bible, you read like about Ehud, or Yitro, or Epaphroditus, or Rhoda. We don't know those people. Well, maybe you've heard about them, but what about them? Are they just as important? Indeed. Well, it seems insignificant that we don't know about him. And do you know about Dodo's son? Dodo? You don't know Dodo? I can't believe it. Dodo. And there are a lot of people in the Bible that don't even have a name. But they did wonderful things in the Bible. We read about these nameless slaves. They didn't do any effort just to write down the name of that person. That is like an unsung heroes in the Bible with faith and courage, and they understand something about God's power, and they were just ordinary people with the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of God, the Uzi to do something in God's kingdom. I mean, you can read about that wonderful story of how God saved the people out of Egypt, and the whole road that they took, the journey, and how they entered the new land and so on. And then, and the other day, we, in 1 Chronicles 16, we heard about Heman. Heman. Who's Heman? And what about Jejutun? Well, I've Jejutun. 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 Whatever it is. We don't know about them. But they had important jobs. They had an important role to play in the kingdom of God. Well, I can ask you about the names of Yehiel and Shirimamoth. Thank you for that. It's not my name. But they, and every single one, played a very important, specific role in the kingdom of God. But sometimes you just remember the story of Noah's Ark and Paul's conversion to Christianity and whatever it is. But there are lesser known people in the Bible. There are lesser known people in our environment. There are lesser known people in our congregation that does wonderful things in the kingdom of God because they understand God calls me and God gives me the power to do so. I mean, you can read about a lady, and I'm not going to tell you the story about it. We can do it another day, that a woman that saved an entire kingdom of Judah when she stole a child and she hid him for 6 years. You can go and read that story in the Bible. And we can read about this left-handed man. It's interesting. He's left-handed, and he saved them from this evil king. Or that woman who killed a powerful general with a tent peg. Well, and so we can go on. We didn't learn about these people in Sunday school, but think about Jethro. Jethro was a father-in-law of Moses, and not a name that we usually think of, but his impact was powerful in that stage, because he gave advice in terms of leadership in delegation of leadership in Moses' life, because it was just out of control for Moses. He couldn't handle it. And Jethro helped him with capacity building and empowering others, and with a very clear instruction of how to do so. And that is Jethro. I mean, and his advice was just powerful. You can read about it in Exodus 18. Ehud was that guy with the left hand. He was of the tribe of Benjamin, and he was chosen by God to deliver Israel from the Moabites' oppression. And after 18 years under the king Eglon's harsh rule, Ehud brought tribute to the king, and he hid his knife or what he swore. But because he was left-handed, they searched him. The security guards just on the right-hand side, because that is normally what happened. And he killed the king. Well, obviously, it's not the way that we wanted to be remembered as a murderer of a king. But point is, he saved all of them, and was instruction of God to do so. Deborah was this prophetess in Judges. She was a judge in Israel, and there was this Canaanite oppression, and how God used her as a woman at that stage to free his people. But we don't know that name, and we don't remember the name of Deborah in Judges 4 and 5. But she fulfilled God's purposes, and he gave her the power, the strength, the Uzi to do so. Yael, it was a very, 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 very violent story, and he was the one that killed a powerful general with the tent peg. You can read about the mighty men, the three generals of David. We read about David and how powerful David was, and we even read how the ladies of Bethlehem, they sang, Saul has slain thousands, but David has slain tens of thousands. But who played the role? And we don't know even those names. Adino. Do you know Adino? Adino was the head general. And with his spear, he killed 800 men. And Eliezer, he was the son of Dodo. He was Dodo's son. And he was one of them. I mean, he defeated the whole enemy on his own. And you can read in the Bible, it was so intense that his hand was stuck to his sword. Not his violent staff, but in summer. Summer, he was the son of Eggie. But the point is, they played in extremely important roles in the Bible and the salvation and the freedom of the children of God, and we don't even know their names. What about that in 2 Kings? You read about that servant girl, a young girl that is in the recovery and the healing of the king, and she played an important role. What about Mordecai? Mordecai in his role in King Esther's life. And so that in the end and the essence of the story of Queen Esther was the following in Esther 4 verse 14 that says, who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this. Specifically, God called you, God gave you the power, God gave you the position to play a role. Nicodemus, all of us know that verse in the Bible in John 3, verse 16 that says, for God loves the world so much, but that story is about Nicodemus. Nicodemus, that guy that came in the night because he was too afraid that other people will see him, but in the night, he spoke to Jesus. Tell me more about you, about salvation. Nicodemus. Rhoda. Very interesting story. That lady, she opened the door when they had this prayer meeting for Peter in jail. He was in prison, and they had this prayer meeting. And she was the one who opened the door and says, hey, guys, Peter is here. And they said, no, he's in prison. Leave us alone. We need to pray for him for his release. But she says, but here he is. And they didn't believe her. Rhoda. We don't know about Rhoda. Beautiful story. And we spoke about Ananias. And we spoke about Sapphira and Pua. That two ladies in the role they played in the whole story of Israel. And so we can go on. A guy that we know about, he was the, I don't know what you call it, the cupbearer or what. He was in prison with Joseph. But we don't know his name. They just call the baker or the cupbearer of the vinegoyer or whatever it is, but we don't know their names. I mean, that's a beautiful story in John 4 that Jesus spoke to that Samaritan woman. A wonderful lesson that we learn about Jesus and speaking to this foreign lady that wasn't allowed even. But what was her name? We don't know her name. The whole story about I am the life, the water of life. And that story in Elijah's story about that widow with the oil jar, we don't know her name. Or the widow of Sarepta. Normally, so when people speak about you, no, it is that man from Korichas. It's that man from Korichas. Oh, it is that lady from Uz. No, it is that guy from Asap. So, that is how they speak about these people. Wonderful people. They did God's work, but they don't even ask their names. And so I can go on. Do you remember that story about this boy, young son, when the people were so hungry and he brought the five loaves of bread and two fishikis. Huh? So no one stopped and said, hi, can't we just write the name down of that fellow? So we just speak about that young boy. But he did a wonderful thing. Because in that story, in that whole story, it ends up that says, Jesus is the bread of life. Jesus is the one of the kingdom, and he will give us eternal life. And we can't even remember and know the name of that young boy. So that is the point. People don't remember our names. But God does. people of the Bible. They were very intense and very analytical. They were and very detailed, orientated, but they missed a few people in the process. But they remember a lot of things, but missed the names. But they played a role in the kingdom of God. And this is what you need to understand. Your name doesn't need to be known for the kingdom of God to matter, or to matter, or to do something of the in the for the purpose of God in this kingdom. And God sees things that we overlook. We overlook the names, but God sees the action. And that is important. And every one of these people, even though we don't know their names or just mention once or whatever it is, they played a role in this redemptive story of salvation. And it doesn't matter how big your story is, or how small your story is, or who remembers your name or not. It is all about doing the work, about faithfulness, about dignity, about love, about caring, about listening, about obeying and doing. So when we are moving into a new phase in our church and our what road it is and what journey lies in front of us, it is just that. It is just to take this little box of food to someone. It is just to love someone. It is to forgive someone. It is to care. It is to call. It is to forgive. It is the small things that really matters, because God says the following. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, because that is normally what we do. So the moment when we say, listen, you've got a calling, we argue about it, we grumble about it, I'm too old, I'm too young, and the church is so-and-so, and what, you know, that all that stories. So do it without, so what you do. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill His good purpose. We know what God's purpose is. As a church, we are called to do so. God gives us the strength to do so. It's not about your name. It's never about your name. It's never about the importance of your name. It's about God and God's name. So that is our calling. God gives us the power to do. Let's pray. And that is what we see if we look at our announcements and the bulletin, and you can see, but this is our calling. This is what we can do. This is how we give hope to this world. Not about our name. Father, we pray this morning that every single thing we do in this church and in this kingdom will be about your name. Sometimes it's so important that we want to say, listen, just write now my name. I've done it. We just take a picture so that everyone can see what we've done. Father, make us humble to listen, to do, to act. Every single act of kindness is a big, big step in this journey of the kingdom of God. We pray this morning, Father, for those who are sick. We pray for those who are struggling in many, many ways. You know them. It might be emotional. It might be financial. It might be in terms of their vocation. It might be in terms of family struggles. Father, you know every single one of us so very well. And even though we don't know all of our names and we cannot pronounce all the names, you know it. Every single one. And you made us so perfectly well so that we can fulfill your purpose in this world. Please send us as a congregation, as individuals, as Christians, to do your will. And we pray this in your name. Amen. Before we come to our offering, there is the house of the lady that her name is Auntie Kapika. And she's 101 years old. She stays in that house. And that's one thing what happens. Her daughter, her small daughter, her grandchild, she came to us. And she said, listen, I want to give you something. So what? What's going on? She wants to give us a goat. I said, we cannot take a goat. She said, well, yeah, I'm going to give you a goat. She said, but there's a veterinarian gate and we cannot go through it. I don't care about the veterinarian gate. I am going to give you a goat. Because you bring us Jesus. And you bring us the gospel. And I said, okay, fine. But I said, well, but can't we make it next time? Then we are prepared. She said, no. If God says, now it's now, we will give you a goat. Okay. So we got a goat. And we gave it to Bende, our translator and guide, and she helps a lot of people in Opuvu. And so she's having the goat now. But this is one guy. His name is Sam. Not Sam, Sam. Sam. And Sam, he said, listen, I just want to give you something. And he gave us a few lemons just to say thank you. So what is interesting about these people is when they hear the gospel, they want to offer. We didn't tell them that. That's what part of our lessons say, hey, before we leave, give us some diesel money, you know? No. Because you paid us to go there, so they don't have to. They want to give something back. So let's offer something to God. Father, when we pray around this offering, we want to offer because you offer your life to us. And therefore, we want to offer not just this financial money and things, but our time, our energy, our minds, so that we can give back to your kingdom. And we pray that this funds will do exactly that, to help us to do our ministry. This is part of our calling. Please give us the strength, the ability to act. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Let's sing a last hymn. It is just, we know it so well, but it is a powerful hymn. And we are going to sing four verses, Amazing Grace. you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. Amen.